Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is, beginning with verse 11, tells you a lot about the work of the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 11 through 16, and we're going to talk about this work of the ministry and kind of a process or a progress about what it entails or what it involves. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from which the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we're talking about the work of the ministry and what it involves, but we're going to be thinking of it in terms of this body or of this man that we've read about here. You see, when you get saved, you get baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, and so you and I become members of the same body. And as a result, when we come into that body grows unto a perfect man. It grows unto the stature of the fullness of Christ, according to this text. And so we have a place in there. And we want to talk about that today, but before we do, let's and go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to guide us through this so that it can be profitable to us and help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Noel, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Amen. Now, you know something, and Paul talks about this because he mentions here in verse 14 something about children being tossed to and fro. And when you get saved, before you can ever think about really your position in this body that Paul is describing here and any work of the ministry that may involve you, you have to just get started. When you get saved, you're a child. And that's why the Lord says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. In Romans chapter 8, He says that the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that's why we cry, Abba, Father. And I'll tell you, when you first get saved, that's one of the greatest experiences in the world, because you know now that you have God for your Father. You know that you've been born again. You know that you have a new life and that you're basically getting a completely new start. No matter what happened before, you're a new man in Christ and you get to start over and you get to start as a child. Well, you know something, children, it's normal, it's natural. Children grow, or as they're supposed to. You know, it'd be a strange thing if you saw a little thing like that, that like Jet is. He's running around here now. How old is Jet? 14 months. And how many days and how many hours? Proud dad. Yeah, he's running around like this, you know, and of course he's smiling. We come in here and practice like we did the special this morning. He's been around that piano and around that ever since 9 months before he was born, you know, and He just lights up. He loves all that. And of course, when you see him, you know, you light up and we all act so funny. We get down there with him. But wouldn't it be something if he was 22 and looked like that? I mean, something way wrong with that. But you know something? A lot of Christians don't realize that that's what they're like. They've been saved a long time and they haven't grown a whit. And part of the reason is they didn't see this, what you're seeing here today. They didn't understand it. They didn't realize that they were required to grow. Part of the reason that they didn't grow or haven't grown is that they have not really gotten into the Bible. The Bible says, as newborn babes. I remember years ago, when I was in the banking business, a fellow got saved and somebody talked about baby Christians. And he said, don't call me a baby Christian. But that's what you are. Well, he says, I know, but I'm a full-grown man. You are in your flesh, but you're not as a child of God. You're a newborn babe. And he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And you know, because he doesn't want us to stay little children. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of Christians that have not grown up. There are a lot of Christians who would be a lot more comfortable this morning back there in the nursery with somebody to pamper them than they would in here. And we come in here and we have a Bible study in the morning, like we do for adult Sunday school. And we give you the meat of the word. It's to help you grow and get doctrine down. He said here in verse 14, so you're not like children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You got to get us settled in on what the truth is. But I'll tell you honestly, some of you would be a lot happier if I served yummy apple strawberry baby food. And you say, why? Because you hadn't grown up. You're still a kid. You're still a baby. You say, don't talk to me that way, preacher. Listen, I'm going to talk to you that way today. I don't normally talk to you that way, but I'm going to talk to you that way today because you need to grow up. I mean, I feel like sometimes around, so I got to put my little nursery booties on so I don't soil the ground around you because they don't wear that on the head. They wear that on their feet back there to keep everything clean back there. It's for the wah-wah little ones because we can't let any little germ get you. And every once in a while you make a mess in life and we have something for you. You know, you're big now and it's a big mess and boy, I mean, it takes a lot of gloves and a lot of wipes to get you cleaned up. I find sometimes people call and say, preacher, I just need to talk again. I don't know if you can tell, that's a pacifier. I just need to stick it in there and then just let you go. But we came for you today. I got the milk for the newborn babes. Listen. Listen carefully. It is time for some of you to quit sucking your thumb and nursing on a bottle and getting somebody to change your diaper. It is time for you to get plugged in and get doing something for God. I know you like this. And I know we try our best to take good care of you. But you're old enough now. You don't want to be a little jet in a 22-year-old body. It won't work. Now, listen, when you first get saved, I understand if you need these things. Your little pull-ups. I understand that. Because you haven't been saved very long and you're going to make a mess. And I always tell people when they first get saved, don't pretend to be a mature Christian with everything under control because you're not. Just be who you are. You say, well, I'm a mess. That's okay. We know how to deal with messes. The Word of God will clean you up. Jesus Christ said to His disciples, now are you clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. So that's just say, I'm dirty. That's cool. Word of God's preached. Cleans you up. Next thing you know, you didn't have to pretend to be something that you're not. You are. Listen, don't you know that when a baby makes a deposit in one of these, you can tell it? He may be smiling, but there's a problem. So you don't have to come in here with a mess and smile like everything's okay. We understand. But as you grow up, you need to quit making those messes. You need to be potty trained. And not, as he says here, tossed to and fro and carried about in verse 14 with every wind of doctrine. When our children were kids and we'd go to the ranch, we used to play that game. We get on either side and have one of the little kids and just sail them, you know, as far as we could in the pool and catch them over there on the other side. And boy, they just gleed and all that. Getting tossed to and fro is for children. It's not for adults. And when you start growing, you need doctrine in order to help you get settled. It is amazing to me how many full-grown and should-be mature Christians know what they believe, but listen, they don't know why they believe it. And the reason is they've never gotten firmly instructed in doctrine. And may I tell you something? You can't do much in the ministry for the Lord without getting grounded in doctrine. I know sometimes in churches that are growing fast, what they're doing is they're just looking for somebody to fill spots and splitting Sunday school classes and making things happen real quick. And they'll say, you look like a good candidate. You go over there and teach them. And this guy really needs to be taught because he's not sound in his doctrine yet. Well, the Lord gives us the opportunity in the work of the ministry under pastors and teachers to ground us well in there so you don't get carried away like that. It's amazing to me how many people are messed up on the tribulation today. How many are messed up on salvation today? How many mess up on other kinds of doctrines that are truly plaguing churches today? And you know what that is? It has to do with the wind. You know what a politician is like? He won't tell you where he stands on anything till he checks the wind to see which way it's blowing. And lots of people handle their church doctrine the same way. And the Bible is very clear. May I tell you, just so you understand, doctrine is doctrine and it doesn't change no matter what part of the world you're in. What the Bible says, what the Bible teaches is the same in Texas as it is in New York, as it is in California, as it is in Mexico, as it is in South America, as it is in Africa. It's the same. People are hung up today on five different views of the rapture. You've heard me say this before, but some believe it comes before the tribulation, some in the middle of the tribulation, some pre-wrath rapture, some at the end of the pre-wrath rapture, that is, before the very end of the tribulation, some at the end of the tribulation, and some don't even believe in the tribulation, the rapture. Let me tell you something. One of those is right and four of those are wrong. And listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't sit there and say, okay, you just keep guessing and I'll tell you whether you were right or not when it happens. That isn't the way doctrine works. You study that thing carefully and see what that Bible says and the Holy Spirit will show you which one of those is right. So you say, well, which one is it? It's before the tribulation. That's what the Bible says. Men say it's these other things and they take verses and twist them around. All they're doing is trying to toss you to and fro. Once you start getting set in doctrine, it's a little bit hard for you to digest it first. It's like transitioning from, strawberry apples to meat. But I want to guarantee you something. I'm going to lunch today and this will not be my meal. I am not going to eat yummy apple strawberry. I'll give this to y'all and you give it to Jet. I'm going to go see if I can't get me a steak. And when I come to church, you know what I want? I want a steak, medium rare, 12 ounces, inch and a half thick. Baked potato would be all right. Take some salad with that and water is fine. Amen. Okay, with all that out of the way, what does the work of the ministry involve? First of all, as you've already heard, it involves growing. It involves growing. You need to grow up. You see here, when you read through this passage, he says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a growing body. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may, what are the next two words? Grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love, you know, the funny thing about this Bible is that when you love the people that you teach, if you're a Sunday school teacher, or love the people to whom you preach and teach, if you're a pastor and a teacher, There is something that takes place in the communication of that word to the folks that you are teaching. If they came hungry to learn, they are going to grow. You come hungry to learn, you are going to grow in the word. That's what we're doing right now. We are here to fulfill what the Bible says in verse 12, to edify the body of Christ. He says at the end of verse 16, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, it's an amazing thing. When you love the Lord God and you love His words, you can take whatever God wants you to have from that scripture in order to grow. As I was growing up, there were times when I needed tender instruction from my dad. This is how you do it. When I was growing up, there were times when I just needed loving fellowship with my family. But buddy, I'm going to tell you, there were some times when I was growing up where I needed a swift kick in the pants. And I guarantee you, I'll tell you who gave it to me. My parents. I crossed my mother one time. She always used to say this. She'd say, you better wait till your dad gets home. Then he'd get home and say, what happened? And we'd have to go through the routine, you know, and I got my punishment. One time, what I did, she wasn't waiting for dad. She said, we're executing my wrath now. May I tell you something? God love her. That was the last time I ever pulled that stunt. Woo! I'm telling you, man, she put some fire in my britches. But you know something? I knew she loved me. And listen, when a person, what I don't like about what's happening with modern preaching today, it's all positive. It's all feel good. It's all motivational. It's all stimulative. It's all emotional. And I don't like that. Why? Because listen, when you're growing up, hey, encouragement does you some good, does me some good. But I'll tell you what, sometimes there's nothing but a good reproof and a good rebuke to straighten you out. And you got to have somebody that loves you enough, that is secure enough in the relationship that you have with Him and He has with you, to put His finger in your nose and say, you messed up here, you need to straighten this out, and that's why. That Bible says this is where you're out of line. And you look at that and go, you know what? Thanks, I appreciate that. And when you're growing, you want that kind of thing. You know, I was in athletics when I was in high school and did all that running and stuff. Listen, I wasn't any good. I needed to be trained, and people have to fuss at you and correct you to get that stuff straightened out. And that's what this growing is about when it's talking about edifying itself in love. You read that letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He was sweet to them at times, but boy, he got after them too. And that's what the Bible does. And that's how we grow up. Now look. He says here in verse 15, speaking the truth. They say sometimes about the truth, it what? It hurts. That's why you speak it in love. May grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The funny thing about it, when I was born, my head wasn't this big. Good thing. Sometimes it's been bigger than it is. That's not a good thing either. But my body has grown up in a balanced fashion. The head, the heart, the lungs, the arms, the hands, all that have grown up in a balanced fashion. All right, it would be really strange if a lot of my body was growing and an arm and my hand weren't growing, or half my head was growing and the other half wasn't, or I grew and my body, my lungs and my heart didn't, I wouldn't survive. And so you grow up into Him in all things. In all things, that is, that you are balanced in your growth in the truth that is being communicated to you, so that you're not just a good prayer, but you're also a good witness, and you're also a good giver, and you're also a faithful person, and you're also capable to teach, or whatever it is God is working in your life to do. So you're growing in all things, in all capacities that the Lord wants you to grow. The next thing about the work of the ministry, it not only involves growing, but it also involves fitting. Look what he says in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. You fit somewhere. If you belong here, you fit somewhere. Have you ever worked a jigsaw puzzle? Did you ever try to make a piece fit where it didn't belong? At first you may not know it till you're going around and then you're looking for the piece you used in the wrong place. You're like, oh, that doesn't go there. You know, I didn't think that fit very well there anyway. So you put it over here and you go, man, that fits perfectly. So the same thing is true when you become a member of a body, when you are a member of the body of Christ by your salvation and then a member of a body like this, you fit. In the work of the ministry, there's something that you can do. And God knows what that is, and He is growing you in all things that make you fitted for that particular thing that He wants you to do. When I first got saved and I started growing, listen, I was not fitted for what I'm doing now. And sometimes I wonder whether I am now. But what has happened is that through a lot of cutting, like you cut out a piece, through a lot of cutting, through a lot of grooming, through a lot of work, through a lot of growing, the Lord has done something. And people say, well, you know something? You know, you can teach the Bible. Or you can preach on the radio. I like what Jim Benny said. I've got a perfect face for the radio. But I'm going to tell you something in case you've ever wondered about that. That is not because of my ability. That is because of something that God has done in this person to fit him for this aspect of the ministry. You know what the terrible thing would be? Listen, you know what the terrible thing would be? God had called me to preach back in the late 80s, and I left the banking business in 1989. You know what would have been a terrible thing? If I hadn't gone when God said it was time to go. It would have been a terrible thing if I hadn't, and I thank God for her every day in this capacity, had a wife who said, I don't want to go to Florida while you train for the ministry. I don't want to have this baby in Florida. But since God called you, and I don't think there's another man around that'll take me right now in this condition. 7 month pregnant and 3 kids under the age of 5. I'm going. But I thank God that she did. Why? Because God, I needed that to fit me. See? For this work. And then all those things that happened to us early in the ministry, some good, some bad, all those things were part of the fitting process for what we are doing today because, listen, God knows exactly where He wants to use you and He knows exactly how you fit and He knows exactly how He needs to shape you and whack on you and train you and grow you and shape you for that thing. Now, I realize that that process takes a little time. That's why we've told people that have come to church here, sometimes who are mature Christians, but they've come from another church. I tell them, just sit a spell. Don't be in a hurry. I know you want to do something, but just take your time. When Lynn and Pam Woods came here, they'd been teaching some sort of a singles class or something for 20 years. And they came here and said, can we start a singles class? We just want to keep on going. I said, sit a spell. I said, we're not used to sitting. I said, well, you got to sit in order to be fit. I didn't say it that way, but it sounds pretty good. So you can see how the Lord's shaping you. They had no idea when they got here that they would be missionaries in Moldova today. You understand that? And that whole shaping process is something that God did to fit them for that. And may I tell you something? The fitting wasn't over when they got the call. Over there now, they are going through some things, and that's why I'm so glad you're praying for them. They're going through some things to fit them even more perfectly for what they've been called to do. May I tell you something? They don't like everything that they're going through. You never do. You never do until you fit. And then you're like, wow, that sure was good. Because the Bible says that God set the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. I would say this to you. If you are not finding your place where you fit in the body, three things are true, potentially. Number one, you're not in the body. You're in the church, you're here, but you're not in the body. And you're never going to fit till you get saved. Or number two, you're still hanging out in the nursery. Point number one. Or number three, God's still fitting you and you just need to be patient till He does. All of that makes sense. Okay? So there's growing and you need to be doing that as you listen to the Word of God, as you read the Word of God, as you study the Word of God, as you apply the Word of God, as you live by the Word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and you grow. May I tell you something? Jesus Christ went through that process. And it wasn't all good. He learned obedience, the Bible says, by the things that he suffered. But he was perfectly fit then for what God wanted him to do when it came time for the cross. So there's growing, there's fitting, and then there's also compacting. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. May I tell you something? The fit is compacted. In other words, when you, again, jigsaw puzzle, you get a jigsaw puzzle, got 1,000 pieces in it, you take the lid off and go, and they just scatter on the table. In order for you to be able to even handle that thing, you know what you do? You get the border pieces over here, and you get the blue sky pieces over here, and you get the red barn pieces over here, and you get the green grass pieces over here, and the other little things you kind of sort out into the thing. And it's scattered all over the table so you can work the puzzle and still have a place in the middle for this thing to be assembled. Right? You've worked a puzzle before, right? Boy, you don't know what you're missing. Anyway, so you start putting the pieces in there, but the thing that it's all done, you have one beautiful little picture. And you have a puzzle that is compacted together. Okay? You say, well, how does that fit in this illustration? Like this. Like this. When, and I've seen this in the ministry since the first time that we've gotten in it, and I'm going to tell you something, it's just as true today as it always has been. In a church, You got the core, and then you got this other nucleus around the core, and then you have varying stages of out on the periphery. Out here. And you know what? That church needs to be compacted together. You say, this is sounding unrealistic. Listen. Until everybody is the core. Compacted. You ever have a trash compactor back in the day when those were popular? I had a trash compactor. And we kept feeding it. I said, this thing is amazing. And we just kept throwing things in there. And I told Ann, I said, I wonder when you empty this. I said, I guess I better, I never had one before. I guess I better try to empty it. Man, I have built myself a brick. It wasn't so much that it was wedged against the sides, even though it was. That thing was so heavy. I mean, it was like lead. I'm telling you, boy. But you know, I want you to know something. It was compacted. And you know what God tries to do with every one of us that's in here? He is trying to compact us into that body and in all things joined to the head, which is Jesus Christ. So listen. You hear this kind of message going on today and you go, boy, that just seemed like it's not really applying to me. You know, you can't live out here on the periphery and be compacted together. You can't do it. It is a burden to me in prayer. I visit with Tony and Randy about it as well. I know for the unity of this body, which is in the text, for the strength of the work that God wants to do in this ministry, for Jesus' sake, because it's about Him, we need to let God draw us in together and be compacted. He tells the Romans that they were to be like-minded. He tells the Corinthians, no schisms in the body. In Ephesians, he talks about the unity of the faith, and he says, of one mind and of one spirit and of one heart. Jesus Christ said that they may be one in me as I am in you, when he prayed in John chapter 17. And the way things are in churches, at some point what happened is it just became popular for people to just show up from time to time to fulfill that sense of a need to do something for a religious obligation. This isn't that kind of deal. It's a ministry that involves work, and in order for that work to be done, the folks in that ministry are compacted together. Do they all do the same thing? Absolutely not. My foot is not speaking to you right now.
It doesn't need to. Why? All you need on a body like this is one of these mouths. You don't need two, I'll guarantee you. Now, in this body, you need two ears, one mouth, because why? You got to listen. But listen, this body that's here, God built perfectly, it has everything it needs. It has a digestive system, you know, and it's got a mouth to eat, and it's got a mouth to talk, and it has a brain sometimes, and it, you know, eyes to see, and all that stuff. Listen, God knows how to do this. And when He's putting together a body like this, He knows just how He wants to put it together. But you got to be there to be compacted in the body. So the work of the ministry involves growing and fitting and compacting. Watch it. It also involves supplying, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. We're not talking dope here. I mean, you have to clarify that these days since it's getting to be legal all over the place. By that which every joint supplieth. That's an interesting thing. He didn't say which some of the joints supply, but which every joint supplieth. In other words, when you get started in the ministry and you are a child of God, the joints are supplying something to you to help you grow. You get a lot of pastoral attention and a lot of attention from Sunday school teacher and a lot of attention in counsel and a lot of attention in discipleship to lay a foundation to help you to grow. Our son-in-law, as you know, is assistant coach at tennis for the Islanders. Players coming in from Europe last night's flight were delayed, and so he had to go to the airport this morning to pick them up on their continuation flight. It is not here. When he first got saved, and Gonzalo and Joanna were coming to the house for Bible study, started coming to the house for Bible study, and came again and again and again and again. He said, "What's the point of this?" The point is this: he got a lot of attention as a child. And then recently, the Lord used him to witness to one of the players, Peter, who is now in Florida, attempting to go pro. And even last night, Peter called and said, "Now I've read all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and I'm now in the book of Acts." In other words, what we gave to Ori to help him to begin to grow, God used to fit him so that he could bring another person to Christ and is now helping that person to grow by doing some discipleship. You see how that goes? That's every joint supplieth. In other words, just picture, he got supplied, now he's supplying. But he continues to get supplied so he can continue to supply. That's how this works. It is a mutual supply. And it's to edify. To edify is to instruct in such a way as to improve somebody. If you are just the recipient and you are not being used to supply, it's not working. Now I look around here and I made that one illustration. It was just to show you how that goes. But you know, I'm looking around here and I know there are a number of you who are supplied here, and then you go out and you witness and supply others. And through that, some people have gotten saved. And you know what that means? If somebody is being supplied and they go and they lead somebody else to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what's happening, right? That body is growing. That body's growing. Like it's supposed to. Not 22 years old and a little debt body, but growing up, just like this text says. And so, my question to you is this. You can answer it. I don't have to. Are you supplying, or are you just taking? Are you a recipient only? Are you got something? Is God using you in some way to make a supply? Now, you heard just the other night when Randy preached a really good message on John chapter 15 about bearing fruit in prayer. Do you know something? One of the greatest supplies to the ministry is prayer. See, sometimes when you hear a message like this, you get the idea, oh my gosh, I got to go pick up a broom, or I got to go get a shovel, or I got to go teach a Sunday school class. That may be the case if that is what God is fitting you for, but let me tell you something. You can start supplying right after you get saved by simply taking time on your knees and praying for the people in this ministry. Praying for those missionaries. Praying for souls to get saved. Praying for the seed of the Word of God that's being sown through fishers of men and port ministry and college ministries and other things like that to be effectual. Now you're supplying something into the body which is absolutely necessary to its function. So you may be saying, I didn't think I was supplying anything. Boy, if you're spending some time in serious prayer for this ministry, you're supplying a lot. But it may be that God's fitting you to even do more than that. And you just have to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit there. Let me show you another thing. It involves working. It involves working. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth unto the effectual working in the measure of every part. That means work. I don't know how else to translate the word. Work means work. Work means work. Listen, as God fits you for the work that you do in a ministry, it is not going to be convenient. There's no way to make it easy. Work has never been easy. Work is a four-letter word, W-O-R-K. Easy is a four-letter word, E-A-S-Y. They are not the same unless you have a college education. And you've been taught that you can sit in an office and tell other people what to do and punch in, punch out. If you're working, it's work. So what's the point? Here's the point. I'm going to use another illustration here just because you can relate to it. Listen, if I use somebody as an illustration here, it's not to pump them up and say, be like that and you'll be good. That's not what this is about. It's to show you how God in this ministry has done something. Years ago, Randy was driving around and he heard a radio broadcast and he said, boy, too bad that guy's not around here. And Corpus Christi, Texas, he goes, I'll be there. So he drove to the little metal building. He had no idea when he drove here the first time what he was getting ready to be fitted for. Let me just say this, buddy, it has been a fit. He had to take on the responsibility of caring for one of our widows. excuse me. He found a wife here. I said that all wrong. So he had three businesses, a steam cleaning business and a plumbing business. And then, when there's a burnout or a flood, some kind of construction business to make the repairs. That's a lot to do. He came to me one day and he said, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. Whatever you need, that's a blank check. You just let me know and I'll do it. And let me tell you something. We took that check to the bank many, many times. Many, many things that he had to do. In addition to caring for his new family and running those businesses, there was work involved being down here. We went on missions trips and we called in that check. Lots and lots of times. If he ever fussed, he never fussed to me. And Maureen's not saying a word. But here's the point. God was fitting him to be your associate pastor. And one day, when the piece was ready, it was apparent where it was, and he said, this is where I want that piece to be. And God, in one year, wrapped up all those businesses. A year later, sold the building, put it all here, gave him more to do than he can do in the time that he has. That's what I fit you for right there. And you know what it took to get there? Work. A lot of work. I'm telling you that to say this, if God's fitting you for the ministry and He's calling upon your time and it's not easy, He never said it would be easy. He never said it would be convenient. He never said it would be fun. Is there joy in it? Beyond compare. Beyond compare. But boy, what it takes to get you ready for that is, it's just like what these guys are getting ready to play some championship football game. Do you think they just sat around drinking malts every day? Oh, can't wait till the championship. I think they've been working. And they hadn't had the joy yet. When they win, they will. And in the ministry, it's the same way. The work of the ministry involves growing. You understand, God doesn't want little children tossed to and fro, because if you build a work on somebody that's unstable in his faith, that work is going to come down. And you don't build that kind of thing on the backs of a child because he's not strong enough to carry that load. You build the man, you build the woman, and then you lay the foundation on that. Like the Bible says, this temple that we're all part of in the building of God is laid upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. That is a rock solid foundation. And when He builds a body like this, He builds it with the same attempt of a rock solid foundation, so it won't crumble later under the pressure of a new doctrine or people who were not worked out to the point that they could take what it requires for that body to grow. It takes working. So this work of the ministry involves growing, fitting, compacting, supplying, working, and then finally this, increasing. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It involves increasing. It involves increasing. How does it increase? Two ways. One way it increases is spiritually. Because that's how we are growing, spiritually. Do you love God more today than you did a couple years ago? You know you do. You know more Bible than you did a couple of years ago. If you get that combination of knowledge and charity, so knowledge puffeth up and charity edifieth, you put those things together so you've got a well-grounded person who loves God and loves the work that God has given to do, you got something going there. So we grow spiritually, but it's just natural for people who are growing spiritually and who are fitted for the work of God, when you're telling somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ as a suitable witness and they get saved, if what you got is any good, they're going to want some of it. They're going to want to be here. You say, well, do we have to break out a jazz band, pom-poms, rock and roll girls, and a big light show in order to get them in here? Hey, listen. If they're really in that body and they're really, listen, really saved, you can sing hymns, preach the Word of God, and feed and love. I'd rather go someplace where I'm being fed and loved than I would someplace I was being entertained. Because one is real and it's going to last, and the other one is temporary, and it won't take you through Wednesday. It doesn't have to be dull. Doesn't have to be dull. It doesn't have to be stoic. As a matter of fact, I like to be enthusiastic. I love this work and I love what God is doing here. But He increases it. Missions giving is increased. Like there's 67 missionaries out there now that you're supporting. I remember when we supported the first one. Jeff Williams in New Zealand in November of 2000. In the bunkhouse. December, I think it was December of 2000. In the bunkhouse. He came, can you imagine the look on his face? I'm on deputation and I'm going to go by Bible Believers Baptist Church, which at that time is a mission of First Bible Baptist Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Where are y'all meeting? In a bunkhouse. We had a Christmas program. I told you about this recently. We had a 4x4 shelf that the hymn books were on. We knocked the shelf down and that became the stage for the Christmas program. But we took him on. And you know what? The 15th of December, we just sent him another check, and on the 15th of January, he'll get another one. And he's still down there in New Zealand, pumping it out. But there are many more missionaries that have joined him since then. Increasing. God's going to call more missionaries out of this church. Increasing. God's going to call, Lord willing, more pastors in this church. Increasing. God's going to use you to witness to more people that they might be saved. Increasing. God's going to still do something with the radio and with the internet, with the Bibles that are being worldwide now in various ministries here. Increasing. Why? God didn't want it to stick around with just 12 men when He started it. He wants that body to grow up into the full stature of Christ. And He wants you and I to be a part of that. So find your place. Where do you fit? Pray. How dare you fit right well with starting out with that? Just pray. You know what I've noticed? I want to say, I'm just going to throw this in for whatever it's worth. I have watched this thing for nearly 30 years in the ministry. And here's two ingredients that are undeniable. Listen, people who pray fervently for a ministry and who give generously to a ministry get locked right in to the compacted body. I've watched it. You hold out on that, you never get compacted. You're always on the edge. Always. Let me say this in closing. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, listen. I didn't preach the gospel, but listen very carefully. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you are on the body, but you're not in the body. Do you understand what I'm saying? My fingers are going everywhere I go. This coat is coming off. The coat is on the body. Fingers in the body. What happens to this coat? It'll bother me a little bit. What happens to this finger? It's going to bother me a lot. If you're here today without Christ, you're like this coat. You're here, but you're not connected, and you never will be fitted. But you can get connected to the body today by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you become a part of the body. Then you can grow. Then you can be fitted. Then you can work. Then you can be compacted. Then you can supply. And then you can increase. And I pray today, listen, I didn't preach the gospel, but if you're here today without Jesus Christ, I know there's a person in here that lets you know that right now. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're here without Christ, you may already know the gospel, in which case you can receive Him. You may not know the gospel clearly enough. Randy, your associate pastor, and Maureen right back there will gladly take you to his office in just a few minutes, show you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ where you can be saved. May I tell you something? Why would you want to be a coat? You know what I can do with this coat when eternity comes? I can take it and I can throw it into hell and let it burn. You know what I can't do with members of the body? I can't do that. Because if Jesus is in heaven, the members of the body are in heaven too. He has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. May I ask you something? You want to burn like a discarded coat, or do you want to be in heaven as a member of that body? Choice is yours. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to be able to preach the words of God. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to do several things for our people today. I pray for these that are gathered here today, Father, that are growing, that this message today will be a great encouragement to them, Father, that although they may have had to take it on the chin once or twice because the truth does hurt sometimes, that they're moving in the right direction, Father, because you're growing them up in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and fitting them for the work that you've given them to do. Father, if there are amongst us those that you've been really working on to put it in a little bit deeper and they're just afraid to do it because it's not convenient and it takes so much work, I pray, God, that you will show them it's worth every bit of it to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today, Heavenly Father, that if we've got those that are just saved, that they will understand just nourishing in the words of God and being pampered like a child is exactly where they need to be, and it's the perfect thing for them. Not to worry or rush it.
And I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are here today that are still being pampered after many years of salvation, that they will put on the big boy pants and let you start doing something with them, Father. And I pray for the joints that have been supplying and supplying and supplying, that you will supply them, Father, so that it becomes tireless for them. And by the grace of God, they've got the strength to do what they're doing. And Father, I pray for any person that's here today without Jesus Christ, that your Holy Spirit will move upon them yet in a way that no man can do, to show them their personal need of Jesus Christ. And through, Father, the reading and seeing of the gospel, and in just a few minutes, Father, they could be saved by receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. God, please, please. We pray and pray and pray for those that are lost, that they would be saved. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if God's spoken to you today, listen, take that up between you and God the best way you know how. If you can make a seat out of your, an altar out of your seat and pray there, pray there. If you need to come to this altar to pray, pray here, wherever God and you can meet. But respond to Him. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you desperately need Him. And I can't think of one more reason why you'd want to put it off. I want to ask you this one simple question. If you're here today without Christ, you know it. Would you be man enough today or woman enough today to at least have somebody show you the gospel so you know how to be saved? Even if it didn't involve you making that decision because you had to be sure. Would you at least let somebody show you? If you would, raise your hand, put it right back down, and Randy and Maureen will know to wait for you and meet you in his office as soon as this service is done. Anybody like that today? I need to be saved, preacher. I need somebody to show me the gospel. The Spirit of God's been talking to me. Just shoot it up, shoot it right back down, wherever you are. All right, you're here today, and you're saved. You've been in this thing with us, and it's been wonderful what God is doing, but you feel like God's been talking to you about cranking it up, doing more in those things we just prayed and preached about. Respond to Him. Let Him have His way with you. Father, I ask you to do what you'd have yourself to do in this invitation. And may your Holy Spirit be very powerful with these words in the hearts of your saints to accomplish your will in their lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.